Father, we just bless you and honor you. What a blessing it is, Father, to be able to sit down and come together and openly speak of your word. We don't have to hide in some corner to do it. We don't have to be ashamed of doing it. And especially, Lord, we don't have to fear about doing it. There is no fear in you. We thank you, Father, tonight that there is grace that is sufficient, more than enough, all sufficient, able to do all things. And we thank you tonight that your grace is moving in the midst of us, and you're going to reveal to us, give to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. This book we're reading is about the knowledge of you and about the knowledge of the kingdom and about the knowledge of your will and about the knowledge that you're taking everything back that was stolen and that you're restoring it first to its original owner.
Thank you.
And Lord, that you're regenerating it, you're restoring it to its original state. How we thank you for that. We thank you for what's going on. We remember how the seals were opened. And on that two-sided scroll, we saw the great blessings of God start to unfold. And at the same time, on the other side of it, we saw Hasatan and all of his hordes getting eviction notices. And we so thank you, Father, that your plans and purposes are coming together. You're going to bring about a great and mighty end to this whole thing. And those of us who love you and who come before you with thanksgiving and worship you, Lord, we get to stay with you and be involved with you in everything that's done. We thank you for it. We're really looking forward to that marriage supper, Lord. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Oh, let's just say it again. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father. We give you praise in the name of Yeshua.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Chrissy, we'll start with you on 16:1.
How many of them? Four or five?
Go ahead and read five. Okay. Uh-huh.
And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, "Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because, or was, and shall be, because thou hast judged thus.
For they have shed the blood of your saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink as they deserve." And I heard the altar respond, "Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments." The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was given power to scorch people with fire. They were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over these plagues, but they refused to repent and glorify him. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. Men gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because... Oh, I went too far.
It's the middle of a sentence.
And cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, but they refused to repent of what they had done.
Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its waters was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they were spirits of demons, performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of the Lord Almighty, or God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon.
Then the seventh angel emptied out his bowl into the air, and a mighty voice came out of the sanctuary of heaven from the throne of God, saying, "It is done. It is all over. It is accomplished. It has come." And there followed lightning flashes, loud rumblings, peals of thunder, and a tremendous earthquake. Nothing like it has ever occurred since men dwelt on the earth. So severe and far-reaching was that earthquake. The mighty cry, the mighty city was broken into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and God kept in mind mighty Babylon to make her drain the cup of his furious wrath and indignation. And every island fled, and no mountains could be found. And great, excessively oppressive hailstones, as heavy as a talent, between 50 and 60 pounds, of immense size, fell from the sky on the people, and men blasphemed God for the plague of the hail. So very great was the torture of that plague.
Amen. Let's go back to the beginning of it. On the board, we've kind of got a little summary of what we've looked at. Not everything, but a ways down on them. And we thought we might look at those tonight and fill some of them in. There are those that say that the bowls that are about to be poured out are exactly the same as the trumpets. And, you know, I'll leave it to you to read it and study it and see what you see. I personally don't see that. I see maybe a continuation of something that started at the trumpets. And one of the reasons you see that with the trumpets and the vials is some of the things, you know, seem to go across. For instance, on the trumpets, there's hail, fire, and blood trumpets and vials or boils. I don't see those as being the same thing at all. But then you do on 2, 3, and 4 see the similarity of what's involved in each one. The oceans become what? One-third blood with the trumpets. What happened when they totally became blood? So there was possibly connection to what's going on and the continuation of. But there's a lot of difference between being one-third of the animals dying and all of them dying. Everything died. All the ships in the sea. Everybody perished on those too. Henrietta said today, would that cause them to sink? And I said, well, I don't know that it would cause them to sink. But I said, can you imagine being in a place where a dead man's blood was all around you? That same putrefying odor, there's a chemical process that takes place that fouls the air to the point, I believe, where it would become poisonous. Mm-hmm. I may be wrong about that.
And it's thick.
And what?
Dead blood is thick.
That's right.
It may sink the ships.
Yeah.
Because it changes
It might.
The viscosity.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I see in the trumpets as opposed to the vials, the trumpets, yeah, there's bad things going on and coming down, but there's still mercy and grace going on.
Right.
And the vials, it's Katie Barth.
It's total judgment.
Yeah. It's for those that have
totally
given up. That's right, you know. And I thought it was, you know, just good for us to kind of look back and see, you know, the we know the fifth seal was the saints underneath the altar, right? Mm-hmm. And the sixth seal was cataclysms, just all kinds of natural disasters taking place. And, of course, we believe the seventh seal is the seven trumpets. The seventh seal is. So there is connection. Always there's a connection as we go on through these. And by the way, if anybody wants to check as we go, you can look at Revelation chapter 8, and that's where the trumpets are. It's in the 8th chapter. So I heard a loud voice from the temple. Any thoughts about whose voice that would be? We normally think of God dwelling in the temple, don't we? That it's Him, and whether it's Him or not, the Scripture didn't choose to tell us exactly, but you know, I think it's... we know that it carries His authority regardless, right? Mm-hmm. And it tells these seven angels to go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. So the first one went, poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore. Something I was reading today, one of the translations said a noisome sore. Has anybody had noisome?
Mine does.
Noisome.
There fell a noisome.
And at first, loathsome, what did you say?
A noisome and grievous.
And grievous.
Grievous.
Yeah.
I was just coming back here to 16. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. If it was the Father speaking, he'd say, my wrath.
That's true. That would make sense.
That's a point.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So is it the Spirit speaking? You know, they're all the same, but they are individual identities.
It seems that he also assigned certain angels to do these things, you know, to speak for him. That's what they do. They go forth speaking his word. And if you're smart, you'll do the same thing. You'll go forth speaking his word. But it does also tell us precisely what these are. Mm-hmm. These are the wrath of God. And we've talked about it before that all wrath was poured out upon Yeshua, and all that was required for anyone to take part in what he did for us was trust. That's all you had to do was trust. Just believe. So this is coming upon those who have refused that propitiation and that punishment that was poured out on him. And so now there's no hope, is there? I think we talked about this a little bit the last time we were here. Hilton asked the Lord about how long these would take. How long would this whole thing go? And I was reminded of the statement that Yeshua made about there will be great tribulation. He said the tribulation will be so great in those days, except it be shortened, no flesh would be saved. And I want you to think about this. Is there going to be flesh saved at the end of this? There's all kinds of wrath being poured out, but is there flesh going to be saved at the end of it?
There has to be, because Jesus said that they'll be shortened so that there will.
So that there will be flesh saved. And you may recall that there was a picture that we had previously of a woman who gave birth to the child, and they were carried away where? Into the wilderness where they were protected for times and a half. So I believe they're still on the earth. I believe they're still under the protection of God. I believe they're still under his seal. Possibly the 144,000 are still here. There are some believe they've taken part in another rapture. But I believe that it's very possible that they could be here yet at this time too. But they're definitely those people that have believed, and grace has been going on, as Kim said, right up until this time, right? We've been seeing the grace of God. We've been seeing the warnings of God. In fact, we saw the angels come forth and proclaim the gospel, didn't we? And what was the purpose? We said it could only be for one reason. Fear God. Keep his commandments. And the idea is that every time God gives a warning, it's to give people a chance to change their course.
But what amazes me in here is you look at the wickedness and the darkness as the ages proceed, and they're still cussing out God.
Yeah.
I mean, their heart is just so darkened and so wicked against the Lord.
Well, undoubtedly, by this time, these people who have come to the place of worshiping the beast, and remember the beast is he's a human being, but a spirit-empowered, demonic spirit-empowered individual, and it seems that his followers, just like the followers of Christ, are filled with his spirit, so that these people that are left on the earth at this time have also taken on that spirit, that wicked spirit. And so, you know, what's going on with them, I think this word that the angel speaks here a little bit down in tells us, and it reminds us, because, you know, periodically you'll hear somebody that's reading Revelation and say, oh, why would God do that? Just why would he do that? Well, you know, we need to guard against those kind of thoughts and even those statements, because God's judgments are altogether righteous. As sad as it is for those that have chosen themselves unworthy of the grace of God, and remember, that's the key choice. They have chosen, they have declared that they're unworthy of the grace of God, and so there's nothing left but judgment after that.
Do you think that they produce a lot of this by the words of their mouth?
I do.
They cursed God, and because they hated God, they hated the word of God, the things of God. that their mouth, their actions produced this judgment.
I believe
it. And it's kind of like, here, you know, here, you yep. made it.
I believe it. Do you think, probably, that as this time goes on, this fullness of what's happened with people's developing in the negative side of death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there really is. There's a development of that that's going on nowadays, even as we see the power of life in our tongues. And we're seeing people who are growing in that. I hear so much lately. And this defiance that people have about anything that's righteous, and how if you even speak righteousness, it's what the Bible said. They'll call good evil
mm-hmm.
and evil good. And so, yeah, absolutely. I see that. Does anybody else see that?
Yes.
That's their mouths that do mm-hmm. that, yeah.
And I also see it goes back to where it talks about Cain and how Cain was, what does it say? He was always a liar and
yeah.
a murderer. He,
yeah.
And this, it's once again the end from the beginning, and we're seeing it's that hard attitude. It is that idolatrous, rebellious, totally defiant to God, and it has now permeated the earth.
The seed of the serpent.
Yeah, even to the point that
the
they
serpent.
Know
yeah.
it's God
yeah.
who is pouring these things out, but they would rather...
There's no place of repentance.
No, they yeah. would rather be so angry at God, and I see kind of like the whirlwind starting, that is, we're coming into Armageddon. That is this anger towards the righteousness of God that everyone's going, let's march.
Yep.
Let's go. We'll show you.
Yep, that's right. This defiant right to the end nature. And, Satan's stirring it.
Mm-hmm.
He's spurring it because he is so angry, knowing that he has but a short time. And remember, woe be to the inhabitants of the earth.
Right.
Well, that's talking about the people that are left here, too, the ones that are going to go into perdition with him, you know. Woe be to them, because he's cast down among you now. And yeah, absolutely. They're not a bit happy about being cast out of their domain. They thought they had built this thing up to where it was just about right for them. Think about what's going on. Have you noticed? I mean, yeah, the last few days, what have our... Maybe none of you have even taken time to watch the news. I fast forward through most of it. But what is it right now? What is the big news story in Colorado today and yesterday?
Sales of marijuana.
That's right. Recreational marijuana, and people are showing up on camera buying it. I asked Henrietta today, I said, do you suppose there are people who never would have thought of doing it while it was illegal that are now saying, oh, it's legal now, must be all right.
Uh-huh.
You know, the government says it's legal, it's got to be okay. And you just wonder how many people are even being deceived further.
There's and how many people they say they're showing up at the airport with it.
Yeah.
Thinking they can get on a plane.
Right.
And it's like, serious?
They can't even go to Wyoming with it.
No. People that were there from Canada. It's like, you're going to take that across the border? Good
yeah,
luck with
right.
that.
Yeah.
But I think all of that is part of Satan's plan to dumbify
yep.
humans
yep.
from the mind of Christ. And that's why Psalm
that's right.
1 says, renew your mind daily. It says to be careful of the friends that you keep. Because the influence and the environment, if you don't keep that shield around you, I mean, like you said, well, how easy would it be to say then, okay,
oh, yeah,
right,
it
let's
just
do
starts
this.
Becoming, yeah, I mean, it's just an ordinary.
I'm
what's
thinking,
the difference?
Man, if it went toward early childhood education, mm-hmm. we could rear smarter kids
mm-hmm.
than their parents, because the secondhand effects of meth and cigarettes, I'm just wondering all this stuff of
yep.
what's it doing to the minds of our little ones that have no say-so. I think it's just like cartoons and things. I think it's all demonically
no doubt about
implemented
it.
As we gear toward Revelation coming to pass.
It's been a gradual
mm-hmm.
desensitization
mm-hmm.
to the
very
demonic.
Subliminal almost.
So that now, you know, things that are demonic are thought of as cute.
Mm-hmm.
They, in fact, movies are made to make them, endear them to,
right.
to our children, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right. So this first vial that comes out, unlike the hail, fire, and blood, which was a bad thing, but you know, it didn't mention a whole lot of damage to people at that time. It was primarily just, I believe it was one of the great warnings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of those things that's supposed to get you to think. But here this one comes out, and it's on the earth. A foul and a loathsome sore came upon the men who had, which men? The men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. It was very specific to who it hit. Now, you remember that this happened when before, this loathsome sore?
The Egyptians
had this, didn't they? And all of those who were contrary to the covenant people at that time, it was specific on them. They had the boils. The children of Israel didn't get the boils. They didn't get them at all, but all of the Egyptians got them at that time. And I thought about that noisome, and I thought, yeah, I'll bet it would be. There could be some noise if it was as bad as it sounds like, you know. There would probably be a lot of screaming and moaning and groaning, and that's what it's talking about, you know, a terrible, terrible sore. And I don't know if you've thought about that, but I mean, this is getting to be a bad time. Hilton said the Lord told him, remember Egypt. Remember Egypt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that except the days be shortened, I thought about, but he said that it's very probable that the 10 plagues of Egypt, there were 7 plagues here, but the 10 plagues of Egypt probably took place in less than a month. That whole thing was carried out in probably less than a month's time. He believes, and I tend to think that it makes sense because of the ferocity, that if it weren't for that, could flesh be saved? You know, if things got worse and went on longer than this. So we see this first thing is directed, and it's the wrath of God. It's the wrath of God, and it's on those who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Let me ask you about those that had the mark of the beast. Would the beast himself be involved in this? Suppose he'd get some of these sores too? Pharaoh did. Pharaoh had them. I believe it's probable that all human flesh that's contrary to God will have them. So I think you'll see Antichrist himself suffering.
If he's going to be deceptive, like an angel of light, he might have a way to mask it.
He might have a way to mask it, that's right. He might not want anybody to know it, or at least wouldn't go out in presence of other people. Anything about that hits you?
It's just what we were talking about earlier, the humanism, and it's become a god.
Yeah.
We've made ourselves into gods.
That's right.
We can figure this out. We don't need God's word. We can make everything fair for everybody. Mm-hmm. We can love everybody, make sure everybody eats, mm-hmm. make sure everybody has a place to live, you know, all that kind of stuff. We're taking on what's in here and trying to put it and make it happen through human hands.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And that's right.
And so, you know, it's kind of like the plagues in Egypt. You know, I'm dumping it out. Everyone represents a god.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm dumping it out on you guys. Okay, you think you're God? You think you can do this? Okay.
Watch this. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And that's one of the first things that people are very much into idolatry about is self mm-hmm. nowadays. Their bodies. The things that people will do for their bodies nowadays, I don't know if you've seen all of the stuff that's available now. It's amazing, you know, all of the stuff that you can do to not just beautify, but, you know, prolong life. Mm-hmm. You Bionics. Can make yourself...
last forever.
That's right. You can live a long time and you can be beautiful. And there's an awful lot of that.
Fear of death. Mm-hmm. If you can come up with a product based on fear...
Yeah, you've got it, don't you? And think about this, there would be nothing beautiful about this when people have these loathsome sores all over their body. It's probable that these will be incurable type of illnesses, the likes of cancer and eruptions like AIDS problems and things like that. And when, you know, if one of them goes down, another one comes up in its place. It's that kind of thing, you know. Loathsome. You know, that to me, that's... tells a lot too, you know. That means that to look at it is
leprosy like.
Yeah, that's right. Leprous. That's good. That's good. Yeah. Anybody else on the first angel? Okay, the second angel poured out his blood on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man. You know, you just have to stop. What would that be like? The blood of a dead man.
thick and stinky and nasty.
It would not be running blood, would it? It would be like a...
It would be
partly
like
solid,
oil.
Wouldn't it? And what?
It would be like oil.
Like oil, yeah. Thick. Thick.
And black.
And so, and black. That's right. Not red. Black. As of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Every living creature in the sea. That pretty well does a number on the sea, doesn't it?
A very interesting thought, though, thinking about dead blood being thick as oil. And what is one of the big get-goers of the whole situation is oil. Mm-hmm. And it's very prevalent in the battles in the Middle East.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Very good. Very good.
And all of these are meant to snuff out the very qualities man needs of life.
Right.
Like air and water and the representation of the Holy Spirit. It's the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm. It is. That's good. Anything more on the second? Now you see that does parallel, again, as we talked, the trumpet, but the trumpet, one-third of the sea turned to blood. One-third of life in the sea. But now it's the other two-thirds are gone.
Well, truly the world is going to have to be purged for the New Jerusalem. It has to come to that point where it's totally purged and cleansed.
That's right. This is a purging of the earth. This is not a purifying of the church. The church is out of here. Praise God. We've already been through the trials of our days that the enemy brings against us. God not leaving us here for that at all. So the third angel now pours out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And this is when the angel of the waters says, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood." Remember now, this is who we're talking about. The people that have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you've given them blood to drink, for it is their just due. What would happen if you drank blood?
Doesn't it kill you?
You couldn't live very long on it, could you?
It says on my hair, when it says, giving them blood to drink, punishment is tailored to fit the crime.
Yeah, that's right.
Makes sense.
That's right.
Okay, question, though. Which African tribe is it that has no water, that have the cattle, and they cut the cattle's...
I've heard about them doing that to drink, but I didn't know that they drank it in place of water.
It's not to replace water. It's a ritual.
Oh, is it? Okay, I thought it was because they lived in such a destitute.
Yeah.
That it was not only.
There may be something to it.
Times of great tribulation.
We do know that the German folks make a sausage just right out of blood.
Nasty,
you know.
Yes.
And of course, to eat it is one thing, but to subsist on it to try to take it, but I would think it would be somewhat like drinking seawater.
Mm-hmm.
Only worse.
I'm so glad I brought my red drink.
Now this blood in the aren't you glad you got a nice red drink tonight?
It's
like you're drinking a jar of jelly. Suck it on down.
The other thing that I find interesting here is where I think it's in Ezekiel. It's always where the water is flowing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, that's mitzvah, the living water.
Yeah.
There is no living water.
And
now,
yet this particular blood may be flowing
because
it's on the fresh water. So this may have a different look than the waters in the sea. It seems to me that it may, be blood red. And it seems to me, the reason I brought that up, it seems to me that if there was no water, that might be just like somebody would do if he's out on a life raft in the ocean and there was no water. They might eventually drink it, but it would really spell their demise, you know. They would not live long after they did it. And it's pretty certain here that people are dying right along, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
The death is, in fact, They would think up until the moment that they die that that would be what they would wish. But once they die, they go from this realm of what they thought was horrible into something that is infinitely, exponentially more horrible than what they've been in here.
Yeah, because their worst day on earth is going to be the best day they've ever experienced.
That's right.
Without changing course.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's a judgment on the earth, which we've also made an idol.
Yeah, that's true.
Saving the earth has become
an idol. Oh, yeah.
And keeping the waters pure and clean for the next generation, and yada, yada. And it's just interesting that it's blood, too. It's dead man's blood.
Yeah.
Not the living blood.
No, no.
Not the
love of life in it, no.
From all sins, you know. And
right.
It's that weird backwards reflection imitation thing.
Yeah, that's right.
This is the best that for what you guys could do with what you have, you know. This is the blood that you have is death.
Amen.
This refers to Isaiah 49:26, and it says, I will make your oppressors eat their own flesh. They will be drunk on their own blood as with wine. And underneath in the footnote it says, during the siege of Jerusalem, its people were reduced to cannibalism, drunk on their own blood. So perhaps there is...
That's right.
Something to that.
I believe there is. I believe it's... Mm-hmm. I believe. In fact, Deuteronomy 28, when the curses are given, and they're actually given to Israel, you know, the day you choose not to keep my covenant and to walk in it, then, you know, those kind of... In fact, the first thing, I think about in verse 15 or 16, it talks about sores and boils and imrods and all kinds of things on the flesh. And then... Later on, it talks about people eating their own children and drinking the blood. And so, you know, that's part of it. And, of course, you know, the curse of the law is what's left for everybody that doesn't receive Yeshua. That's what's there. So that's good, Jane. So he says, you've given them the blood to drink, for it is their just due. It's exactly what they deserve. Verse 7 says, I heard another from the altar. Another. Now, somebody just says, whoever read that said, I heard the altar.
Yes.
Yeah.
His says, I heard the altar.
I heard the altar. Yeah. What do you think about that? Does the altar talk? Do we have any
it's not the altar.
Not the altar?
It's another out of the altar.
Another out of the altar. Okay. And what would that?
The saints that were under the altar.
At least we have that as a recollection, don't we? That the saints under the altar, the souls of them that were martyred for their faith in Jesus, saying, "How long, O Lord?" And now, could it be their voice again, saying, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." They wanted to know how long. Now they see him, huh? Even so. Okay, anything more on the third angel?
One thing that was interesting in one of the Bibles we were reading earlier, even so, Lord God, true and righteous are your judgments. And the reference in this particular Bible was Isaiah 66:6. Which I thought, interesting.
Yeah, 666, huh?
Right, exactly. Which says, let me... I don't know, that stuck out to me as going, And it says, the sound of noise from the city, the voice from the temple, the voice of the Lord who fully repays his enemies.
Fully repays.
And I thought, wow, you know, what an interesting reference with those numbers correlating to what's
six,
going on
six,
here
six,
with the mark of the beast, right?
I mean, coincidence?
No.
I think not. Yep. Well, let's look at the fourth angel then. Poured out his bowl on the sun. Mm-hmm. Here again, parallel, darkness, one third of the day and also one third of the night. Things aren't the way they normally were. The sun, the moon, the stars all refuse to give their light part of the time. But this one seems different, doesn't it? Because what happens? And power was given to him to scorch men with fire. What do you call that? What would Al Gore call it?
Global warming.
It would be the epitome of global warming, wouldn't it?
Sounds pretty warm.
Severest sense.
What's that?
In the severest sense.
In the severest sense, that's right.
Scorch is
but
pretty warm.
But at the same time, right, during our trumpets, we have darkness.
Yeah.
Right? It's taking away...
Part of the normal.
The part of the normal. It's bringing darkness, almost going to men. It's dark, right? We like light. We thrive in light. And now as we're coming to the end of days and the big yahoo, it's just this blazing sun, which in a sense is God saying, this is my brightness, you know, and you can't.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Yeah. Just seeing it's over and above and
right.
on top. And it is going to scorch him.
That's right. I was reading someone, and this was in a scientific realm, and they were talking about the thing about when must be along the line of the black hole and how mm-hmm. things become so dense that light can't escape. That in a case like that, and who I don't know if this has anything to do with a black hole or not, but even though there is no visible light from it, the heat is still intense. Mm-hmm. It's not like the sun's gone out or the star is gone. It's just that it's become so compact, the gravity is so heavy, even light can't escape. But the heat, is tremendous. And I got to wondering about a little bit about that. If maybe this was the predecessor as the darkness came, but now the sun itself is scorching. And I don't know if you've been in. I suppose some of you have been in an outdoor temperature where it was upwards of 115, 120, 130 degrees, but it's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable to walk outside at a time like that. You know, I remember getting out of the car in Yuma, Arizona one time, and when I opened the door of the car, it was really like I was...
It's an oven.
With a furnace, that's right.
So I wasn't
and, you know, you just, you just couldn't... comprehend, and that, you know, that's nothing. I think it was 118 at that time was what it was. But didn't we hear some temperatures last summer around 130 and stuff like that? Well, you know, that's unbelievable. I believe it's going to be hotter, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you can imagine what would happen to your beautiful flesh with your SPF 30 or SPF 100, you know? Men were scorched with great heat, and what did they do? They blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. And my thought went to Esau, where the Bible says there was found no place of repentance for him. I believe it at that time. There's no place to repent anymore. They're beyond that point of no return. Anything more about the sun, the heat, the fourth angel?
I think there again, it's confession. Confession. The words brought it about. You know, the water's going to do this. You know,
yep.
We got to protect the waters. We got to do this because this is going to happen.
That's
the
true.
Global warming is going to happen.
That's good.
You know,
that's
we confess
good.
These
it's
things.
Really going to get
we
hot.
We brought
yeah.
all this stuff. About,
yeah, I believe
you know,
you're right.
And the justice of you spilt the blood of the saints. Here's blood.
Where did we see that happen before in Scripture? I always think of Numbers, the 13th and the 14th chapter, when the children of Israel were out in the wilderness, and the spies had come back, and the spies had reported now, you know, at least five-sixths of the spies said, we can't go, there's giants there, we're not able. One-sixth said, well, yeah, we're well able. But nevertheless... they turned the entire congregation of Israel and they began to do something which I thought was remarkable. They began to pray. And the reason I say they prayed is they said, would God we died in this wilderness. Mm-hmm. Would God. You know, they were actually speaking God's name along with what they had determined as a dread.
Mm-hmm.
It really was a dread. And that we've talked about this before, that as fear is negative faith, you can take the verses that apply to faith and turn them backwards with fear and get the same thing. Mm-hmm. Fear comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Satan. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Fear is the substance of things dreaded. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The evidence of things not seen yet. Mm-hmm. And so you begin to see that same thing. And I've got to wondering this too. As these things start to go on, when do you hear people say things like this when something bad happens? Oh, what next? Mm-hmm. What's going to happen tomorrow?
Comes in threes.
Yeah, that's right. Just wait till tomorrow. You think this is bad?
That's right.
I think this is exactly as John was just talking again about the tongue. How the tongue does this, and how they've spoken this thing for years and years and years, and how our whole thing is protect the environment, you know. If we don't protect the environment, God's sure not able to do it. Even though his covenant said there'll be summer and winter, there'll be seed time and harvest as long as the earth remains. So what do we know is coming here? We're getting close to when the earth ain't going to remain anymore, right?
It's important to see in verse 9 that they repented not to give him glory. Mm-hmm. What that tells me is that they were capable of repenting but chose not to.
That's true. They chose not to. That's right. That's good. That's good.
Well, it's just like you just talked about the spies, too.
Yeah.
They were all capable.
Sure. They could have all come back with a...
Yeah. They all could have come back with a bed. None of them entered the promised land. As many times as they said, did you bring us here to the wilderness to die?
Yeah.
Did you bring us here? You brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?
Yeah.
They all died in the wilderness.
They died in the wilderness. That's right. That's right.
And
that's
what John was saying about repent, and they wouldn't give him glory. I mean, that's an important lesson for us.
Refuse
we can
to.
Repent,
yeah.
But that importance of giving the Lord glory and to have a grateful attitude and
in spite
to be,
of the circumstances.
And to praise him,
that's
right? Because that's power there.
Yeah. And that is good, John, about they did not repent. If they did not repent, there's an indication that they could have, isn't there? Yeah, that's good. I like that.
And it's interesting that when it's stated and they refused to repent, it wasn't just like they had an option. They were called to repent.
Yeah.
There was something that was made that request.
It's the only thing that made any sense.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then they refused it. So
right.
That's you can't refuse something if it hasn't been at least offered.
That's right. Anything more on the fifth angel?
That was the fourth.
That was the fourth. Yeah, we're on the fifth now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Verse 10. Okay, should we look at the fifth then? Mm-hmm. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. Let's think about that for a second. Where's the throne of the beast?
It'll be in Jerusalem, won't it?
Well, it seems like it's going to be somewhere in that area. Mm-hmm. A lot of people believe it might be in Brussels, Belgium. Mm-hmm. But because there's a huge, huge computer in Brussels.
It's called the beast.
What's that?
It's called the Beast.
The Beast, that's right, called the Beast. And there is a possibility that it could be there, but let's just look at it this way. The throne of the Beast seems to me like it'll be a Euro, Middle Eastern circumference. Mm-hmm. Something from Europe to Persia. In that area is where the throne of the beast will be. It's very difficult to say. More and more, I'm seeing more and more of an Islamic element involved in this, and even to where one of the names for the Antichrist is the Assyrian. Mm-hmm. That's one of the names that he's called, the Assyrian. So, the beast becomes full of darkness. His throne and his kingdom became full of darkness. What about the darkness? Where's that come from? What do we hear about darkness again?
That was
Egyptians again.
What?
Egyptians again.
The Egyptians again. And so many of these parallel Egyptian plagues, there's no doubt about that. Well, of course, there's not going to be just the death of the firstborn here, because it goes much further than that, doesn't it? But that darkness, I've thought about it many times. There is a darkness that is the absence of light, but there is a darkness that actually is a spiritual force. Mm-hmm. And it's much different. It's a darkness that eats light. It eats it up. Light cannot. Do you remember in Egypt, they could not light a candle? There wasn't any way to have any light. But the Israelites had light in their houses. But in this darkness, there was pain. And I believe this is a preview of what Yeshua talked. He says they will go to outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's not yet to the point for them where the worm dieth not, because they haven't crossed over into that eternal part of damnation. But nevertheless, it's a preview of that that's coming on there. They saw it. And what'd they do?
Refuse to repent.
Blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent. Anything on that that any of you have? Not willing that they perish, is he? That's right.
It's like the words wake up call. To me, it's like he's trying to wake them up and he's calling them back, and yet they refuse.
If there is anybody repenting at all at this time, it isn't seen, is it? We don't have any evidence of it.
And I think part of it is they were to the point where they didn't see their deeds as wicked.
Yeah.
They didn't see it. They were to the point where, hey, we'll figure this out. We figured everything else out.
Right.
We'll figure this out too, because we are man and we are superior. And, you know, once again, humanism.
Did you know that a lot of the Nazis thought they were doing service to God?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally.
A lot of them were so deceived that they, even in the midst of the ovens and what was going on around about them, they still thought it was a righteous war.
Even at their trials, cause. They totally felt that they were without blame. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what John just said, I believe, is that, you know, is that thing that happens to people.
Brainwashing. They have gone astray for so long.
If you call evil good and good evil so long, it becomes, you become that twisted. Mm-hmm. Very good point.
And you see it more and more.
Yeah.
Yeah, Christians are closed-minded. Christians don't include everybody. Christians, you know, that's why, I mean, what percentage of our population is homosexual, gay? Why do they have such a big voice? You know, the little horn grew a mouth.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
An eye, you know,
that's
it's
true.
Serious.
That's true. That's and an then, excellent point.
And, you
it's
know,
the mouth.
How much they influence, how much, because they're speaking out, they're speaking out, they're speaking out, they're speaking out, and we're hearing and hearing and hearing.
Yeah, that's right.
And a certain amount of it is, well, all right.
Kinda, yeah.
Just, I'm just going to kind of look the other way.
People have become timid about calling good, good. Mm-hmm. They really
like
have.
A gay couple getting married on the Rose Bowl parade. Here's this gargantuan tradition that everyone's watched all their lives.
Huge family event.
Yep, and then slide that in there and we'll just, you know.
And the guy on Duck Dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's a hater.
Yeah.
And that's how they're going to come after us.
Right.
They're not going to have to put, you know, new laws on the books or anything like that. Come, you know, he's a hater. All he did was quote scripture.
That's all he did.
It wasn't even his own opinion.
That's all he did. You know? He never said anything about I believe or I think. He said this is what.
Calling evil good and good evil.
That's right. Yes. Sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates. There's two bodies of water that are called the great river and the great sea. Where's the great sea when you talk about Israel? It's the Mediterranean, yeah. Always is speaking about the great sea. That's one of their boundaries, the great sea. And The great river is Euphrates. It's about an 1,800-mile long river, and I think over 900 miles of it are navigable water. So, I mean, it is, it's quite a river. You know, they can run some huge crafts on this. And its water was dried up. Now, that's going to be a shock, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, what's the reason, but what happens when it's dried up?
It's to give access.
So they can get to
them. So they can come to fight against God.
Right.
So it's still the Lord behind this whole thing going, you think you know what's going on. I'm setting the stage.
And all of your defiance and all of your, we're going to solve our problems and we're going to see this thing out to the end. He says, okay, we'll dry out the river and let you come.
Face to face.
Come on ahead. That's right. We'll come right on. And it's the kings of the east. So that would deal with who?
China.
Probably China Russia. Would be, and Russia would be a big part of it. Right? Kings of the east. And I saw three unclean spirits. In other words, they're evil spirits, right? Mm-hmm. Like frogs. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Where does frogs come from again? Egypt. The frogs of Egypt. And who was the frog of Egypt? I can't remember his name right now, but one of their great deities was a frog. Had the head of a frog. And this frog comes out of what?
Mouth of the beast.
Mouth of the dragon, the mouth of the beast, and the mouth of the false prophet. Now, is there a significance to where it comes from?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it coming out of it, their mouths?
It's what John was saying earlier.
We speak it.
And it happens.
Yeah. Yeah, and when he said about the little horn grew a mouth, I thought of that too, you know. Mm-hmm. Because I think right here you're seeing, this is the... You remember the angels come with the everlasting gospel? These are coming with the everlasting counterfeit, the thing that has never changed since the beginning of time. Since Adam was deceived, they're coming out preaching their lies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. There's a whole bunch of lies coming out. But you also see that thing that people call Trinity. In this, don't you? The dragon, the devil himself, or a counterfeit of father, and the mouth of the beast, the counterfeit of son, and the false prophet, the counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. And these are spirits of demons doing what?
Performing
signs and wonders.
Oh, can they do that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, what does it take? By the way, Egyptians performed signs, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Where did they stop? Does anybody remember?
Was it with the flies? Or the
I
lice?
Believe it was the flies, yeah. I believe they couldn't duplicate the flies.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows why it was that. Does it make any difference whether they're actual miracles or whether they're deceiving...
Taking the curse
magic
back
sign.
Off
that's right.
Is what I see.
Yeah, yeah. You see, even prestidigitation fools people, doesn't it? People with the sleight of hand can fool people, and Satan certainly has power to fool people.
Okay, I guess what I'm saying in taking the curse off, if people have terrible sickness and disease and they come to a witch doctor and the witch doctor does the
waves his hands
and the demons jump off,
yeah,
right.
it looks like a healing. That's right.
Gotcha.
It's removing the curse that was once placed by them or came from them in the first place. Yeah, okay. That's out of it, yeah. They're spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth. Now remember, these are three, but they're going not just to these kings of the east now. The kings of the east have come out, but now they're going out
to the whole world.
It looks like to the whole world, doesn't it?
That's what mine says.
That's what it says. The kings of the earth and of the whole world to do what?
To gather them to the battle, the great day of God Almighty.
So what would be the purpose of the signs?
To show power that you're the right one.
You think he's got power? Watch this. Says that they can even make it appear that fire comes out of heaven. Now, it doesn't say that about these particular ones, but that has been one of the things that demons have, or, you know, that devils have done, you know.
So, Pastor Terry, I have a question.
Deceiving signs.
Is it that place that we read this and we have to remember, what was John drawing on? Can it be the very natural things of our earth?
Might be, too. Right? Might be.
We're looking always for the big demon thing in the sky.
Yeah.
And is it just even our technology and our mindset that it can be so blatant in a sense that you would miss?
Yeah.
That it is the spirit behind it.
Well, obviously, that's one of the things that these demons are enticing, is to bring that kind of natural wonders together. In my mind, they actually possess something we're seeing God function here, you know, doing some things that have never happened on the earth in this kind of magnitude. Seems to me that there needs to be something of a counterfeit to that that is enough to entice. And I can't remember, just I believe it was Jesus that said it. It says that they come with lying wonders. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever it is, you know, it's big. It's enough to get Kim Jong-un to bring his nukes. Okay. and whatever. I don't know who's the head of China anymore. But all of these different kings of the earth. And, of course, we've got them all around us anymore, you know, coming. The whole world to gather them together to do the battle of the great day of God Almighty. That great and terrible day of the Lord. And then he stops for just a second. And this, it's got to be Yeshua, right?
Mm-hmm.
Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Then he goes back, lets it go back to the scene again. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew. And it's interesting to me that it's called in the Hebrew and they don't do it in Hebrew. Everything that comes out of Greek, you can always tell it. There's no, like in Hebrew, there's a hey, a hey sound. And the hey has breath to it. I believe it speaks of the Spirit of God. I believe it speaks of breath.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get into Greek, it's called R. But it's not R, just like it's not called Alleluia. It's called Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only reason Alleluia ever came along, was because it came out of a Greek translation that has no H. And so they ended up with that. Hallel is the word for praise. R, this is actually a compound word. It's har. Har. Does anybody know what har means in Hebrew?
Is it mountain?
Mountain. Mountain. And we see this other word a number of times. This is the only time you see the word Armageddon in all of Scripture. Har Megiddo. Har Megiddo is what the word really is. And if they really had been accurate, that's what they'd have said. It's called in the Hebrew Har Megiddo. But they said Armageddon. So Har Megiddo is the mountain where the city of Megiddo is. And there were many biblical battles fought around Megiddo. But the valley stretches out. I believe that valley stretches out for like 180 to 200 miles. Goes clear down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. So it's a huge, huge, huge valley that comes off of this mountain range.
What does Megiddo mean?
I don't know. Does anybody have a Megiddo? Megiddo. I don't know. Should have looked that up. We should have looked that one up. Megiddo. So, that's the gathering. That's what's going on in this one with the sixth angel. And if you look at that, we've already said these are all the wrath of God, and yet it's all about what's going on with the nations of the earth, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
all about the nations doing their stuff. The river is the only thing that you can tell God had to have done. He dried up the river Euphrates. But it's to make way for this battle that's coming, isn't it? To bring them together in that one place. How many people do you suppose might be involved in that? All the kings of the earth and the nations of the earth thrown together.
Many, many.
How many people does it say that the, I think back in the trumpets.
We lost a third of them, didn't we?
Yeah, but that tells about the number of the army that comes forth too.
200 million?
200 million in one army. And if there's any army on earth at this point that could be that big, would be China. 200 million. But imagine now, that's just one of them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you realize this, but India is a place that also has over 1 billion people in it. And also has a huge army. Pakistan has a huge army. Their armies, Russian army is huge even though it's no longer Soviet. Mm-hmm. But you've also got all of the old kings of that area too that would gather. South America, there's a lot of renegades down in that area now. Perhaps even the United States of America will be involved in this.
Well, it does say of the whole world.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? The kings of the whole world. We always like to think the U.S. will be left out of these things, but you know, once the church is gone, then he that withholds will only withhold till he's taken out of the way. Once the Holy Spirit has gone out in us, boy, wrath is going to tear loose.
And do you think it's possible the three frogs that spoke to all the kings of the world, was there still, I mean, the Christians are gone, yes, but was there still that false religion? Were they coming to make claims on Jerusalem?
Yeah.
Is that what the frogs were all about?
Very well may be.
Because it does talk, you know, jumping ahead a little bit about the city being divided.
That's right. That's right.
Into thirds.
That's right.
Is that what the voice of the frogs were?
Very well may be.
We have a claim on this, even though they're not really Christians anymore, but our religion or false religion or whatever we perceive it to be or whatever it's diminished to at this point in time.
Right.
We have a claim.
Right.
You know, and the Jews have a claim. Islam has a claim.
That's right. That's the three divisions today, isn't it? The Christian. And by the way, the Christian claim on Israel right now is not the evangelicals primarily, is it? No.
No.
In fact, even the Christian is split into the Greek Orthodox and the...
and they fight with each other.
Roman Catholics and
Right. Okay.
These Christians who have said, look, we're on Israel's side and have joined the IDF. That's really...
That's amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
That's powerful. That's right. So there is something going on there, huh? Good. Good. All right, are we ready for number seven? Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl where?
Into the air.
What do you suppose that would look like? Pour out a bowl into the air. In space, perhaps, huh? Into space.
Or is it the very air that you breathe?
Could be into the very air that you breathe. And a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, it is done. Heinzen brings out a point that this is not the same thing that Jesus said on the cross when he said it is finished. This is a different word that means the scope of all prophecy is now finished. It's now established. It's complete. And when he says that, there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, which reminds us again of what? Reminds me of when Torah was given on Mount Sinai. Noises, thunderings, lightnings, and a great earthquake. But, it says, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Anybody know what the biggest registered earthquake on the Richter scale has ever been? I don't either.
I is.
Nine?
Aware.
Yeah. Probably in the nine. And you know that that scale goes up and gets much bigger than point. It's huge in every direction. Tremendous. This earthquake is so big that the great city was divided into three parts. Now, there are places where we read again about Jerusalem being divided. And, of course, some parts of these are men doing it, right? Mm-hmm. But there seems to be a time that what is going to happen is going to bring about the great will of God, and that and I don't know if it's the same one, but that the Dead Sea will run fresh, and it may be after this one. It seems like it may be. The great city was divided into three parts, and the city of the nations fell, and great Babylon was given, and great Babylon was remembered before God. Remember, we talked about Cornelius. His prayers came up and were remembered before God. I like to be remembered that way, but Babylon was remembered before God. I wouldn't want to be remembered this way. To give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Anybody want to talk about that before we go on?
It's idolatry.
Yeah.
And I mean, that sounds very simple. But it is every form of idolatry and everything that the Father spoke of don't,
yep.
And they did.
Yep.
And it just becomes, it totally overtakes them.
That's right.
And I guess the other thing is that as we're reading this, it's that place that not taking responsibility for your choice, you're making God wrong again. And that's that place of not repenting.
It's true.
And that we're going to go march against him, right?
Right?
How dare you?
That's right. That's right. And when we talk about Babylon, we remember, and we'll get a picture of her next week, but or next time we study, but what's the sin of Babylon always likened to?
Harlotry.
Fornication, mm-hmm. Uncleanness, and it always is an adulterous relationship with idols, isn't it? Great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath, and when this happens, then verse 20 says, every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Now, what does that mean? I want you to think about it just a second, you know. Remember, the seas have already been turned to blood. But every island. I'd say it wouldn't be a good day to be in Hawaii.
It's that thing, if with earthquakes, what do you have? Tsunamis.
Yeah, that's
which
right.
We didn't hear that much of before. But so it's covered.
Covered.
And then even that thing of no mountains. If you've ever been to Yellowstone and they show that whole cauldron thing underneath and said if there is ever the correct kind of an earthquake, everybody's gone to like Missouri.
Yeah, something like that. That's right. It's all gone. You could see it could happen very easily in that scenario, can't you? Every island fled away and the mountains were not found. I mean, you're talking about the beginning of a reforming of the earth, aren't you? Mm-hmm. You're talking, I believe, remember we're talking about regeneration, a return, a restoration to its original state. And most creation scientists believe that the earth was originally straight on its axis. It's now 23 degrees. When did that happen? Flood time. Flood time it tipped. But I believe it'll come back. What would happen again after that? Many of you ever heard Karl Barth talk about what the earth was like before the flood? That there was no place on the earth where it wasn't subtropical. Mm-hmm. The whole earth was subtropical because it was covered. Where were the seas at that time? Well, they were in the atmosphere. They formed a huge crystalline cover over the earth. And I remember hearing him talk. He said that it was such that there was a frequency to it. Mm-hmm. And that it was like music in the atmosphere, mm-hmm. that you could hear the sound, a very pleasant sound in the atmosphere. It, you know, things that I don't have any way of scientifically knowing, but it's interesting to talk about.
But you look at even the fact that if it did tilt on its axis after that dome or after that protective cover was gone, it's so we wouldn't burn up. There
that's right.
God's grace.
Had to happen
if
at that time.
If it was 1 degree back this way,
that's
it wouldn't be that way.
That's right.
Everything
once the covering was gone. That's right.
Or so they say.
Absolutely.
You know?
It was
so
grace.
Even then, it was God's grace.
Amen.
He destroyed everything.
Amen.
Yeah, it tipped a little bit, but if it wasn't tipped at just that angle, we'd burn up.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
So were mountains mentioned anywhere? I mean, I don't know, and that's why I'm putting it out there. Prior to Noah and the ark coming to rest on mountains?
I don't recall them right offhand. You know, you've only got six chapters, first five chapters of Genesis. And I can't recall any mountains in the first five chapters until after the flood when it landed on Mount Ararat. And it almost sounds as if that may have been, again, the thing that caused it. Well, the Bible says that it not only rained, but the waters gushed from underneath. The fountains below gave up their waters. That's what caused such a huge flood. Interesting. Every mountain, every island, and great hail. Ooh. Many of you have ever been in a big hailstorm. Go down to Denver.
Not 60 pounders.
Yeah, not 60 pounders. Right. I've seen some golf balls, and I haven't been around too many baseballs. I've heard people talk about being in baseballs, but I can tell you right now, what happened again in Egypt was that they said, get the animals and anybody that will take... Remember, God gave a warning to the Egyptians. I'm going to send the hail. If you'll hearken, you can get out and get undercover. Because those of you that don't are going to lose life.
100 pounds, that would do it.
Yeah, you know, there's a case where we don't know. a Greek talent's 56 pounds or something like that. And what is the other one? Is it the Hebrew talent that's 117 or 112 pounds or something like that? 114 pounds. But, you know, it doesn't make any difference. And you get about 50 pounds falling. I don't think it'd make too much difference if it's 50 or 100. If you can imagine 14 feet per second. Acceleration coming out. You're going to be pretty flat if you get hit, right? And what kind of house would stand up against that?
None.
No. Great hail fell upon man. Each hailstone about the weight of a talent, men blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. Wow. Hard to comprehend that people could not see, but again, that twist that's happened in people.
But even in our present day, and people who really don't know Messiah and have not had that place of knowing the love of God, when thing after thing after thing happens, they blame God. Because if God really loved me, he wouldn't do this, instead of stopping and going, what is my part in the equation?
Yeah.
And so it is a very, to me, human response, but it's going to be just magnified.
That's right.
Well, God gets blamed for a lot of things. Look at our insurance policy. It's an act of God.
An act of God.
What did you say, John, in the last plague? What?
We see that when we look at the reactions of people in the earlier plagues, they refused to repent. With the last one, it doesn't say that.
Said they blasphemed God.
All they did was blaspheme God.
Blaspheme God.
I think that with the last plague, they don't.
No more. Mm-hmm. No more.
Good point.
No more. That's right. That's good. That's good. And the wrath of God really is finished in this, it seems. Now, next week we're going to look at a specific informational chapter of what that means to Babylon. You know, how it's going to affect her. But really, I believe you've seen these. These are the last seven pictures of the wrath of God on the earth. And they're all aimed at Hasatan, the beast, the false prophet, and those that have the mark and worship the beast. That's what they're aimed at. Those that have the beast, it seems to me, don't have a choice, do they? Isn't that what it said? Mm-hmm. Kind of seems like once you've taken the mark,
you're done.
It doesn't look too good for him to me, yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise God.